tears your shepherd Zion. Many a thousand, it has landed. Many a thousand, it has landed.
Oh. has it landed?
Thank you.
It has landed.
Yes, it has.
He has landed.
Many.
Many a thousand. He has landed. Many a
the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I pray for the forgiveness of my sins and the sins of this congregation.
Yes.
That you would create within us a clean heart and renew within us the right spirit. Take not your joy, the joy of your salvation, away from us. But restore unto us that the cankerworm has taken away from us. Thank you for these young people and their singing.
Yes.
Thank you for these ushers who have walked the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you for this contemporary's choir and for Mrs. Jackson. And we give you thanks for all of our musicians. Bless now the preach word. For it's in the name of Christ our Lord we pray. And all the people who love God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I sure wish I could sing, because I will tell you, it has landed. My old mother.
Amen.
Landed, my dear mother.
Come on, say it.
It has landed.
The captain?
King Jesus.
Come on, help me here.
Is the captain. King Jesus. Is the
tell me something about the water.
There's no danger in God's water. There's no danger in God's water.
God's water. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Sister Tidwell.
Amen.
Sister Tidwell can sing God's songs any day.
Amen.
How we praise God for her voice and her willingness to sing God's praises. Some people have the voice, but they don't have the willingness. Some people have the willingness, but they don't have the spirit. Hallelujah. We continue our preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love chapter that Paul writes to the church that was confused about love. Paul writes to them to try to get them to understand that you cannot be a thriving, growing church without love. Without God's love. Paul shares with them the different kinds of love, but he reminds them that there's only one love that can hold a church together, and that is the love of God. That is God's love. Paul looks at the church, and he looks at the church as ecclesia, the called out ones. He reminds them that we are in the church, but we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Right. And we have some people who are in church, but they're not of the church. They pay their tithes, they dress well, they look good, they smell good, they lead songs, or they lead arguments. You catch that on the way home. But God is saying to us in this text that though you speak with the tongues of angels, you're glib of speech, but if you don't have love, then your speech is of no effect. Paul writes and says to the church that there are those of us and those of you who are willing to die for the cause of the church, but you do not have love one for the other. And so he says that though you give your body to be burned, though you become a martyr of the church, if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. So Paul says, whether you glib of speech or whether you have devoted your life to the cause but do not have love, it is no effect. And so Paul writes and shares with us that there are some ingredients, there are some tenets of love, of God's love, of agape. And he helps us by sharing with us, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm just talking. And he helps us to say, though I give the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Then though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I'm a charitable and person and philanthropist, I give my body to be burned. But if I don't have love, it's of no avail to me and to others. So he comes to that seventh verse. Paul says, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. On March the 28th, 1970, in Buffalo, New York, in a small Methodist church, I stood before a friend whose name was James Ferguson Brown. And he was a friend who had befriended me when I came to Virginia Union and said, Jimison, whatever you need, just let me know. So when I needed a pastor, when I needed a preacher for my wedding, I called him. I stood before that congregation, those members of Jackie's family, and we had 50 people who had come from Cleveland, Ohio. They chartered a bus to come to be my family. It was the First Baptist Church of Bedford, Ohio, Sister Ann. And I had been there a part of my training for the master of arts in Christian education, and so I had done my field work there. It was not a church of color; they were not black people. There was not a black member of that church, but the Lord sent me there, and I worked with them, and they fell in love with this little country preacher from Dallas, Texas, and allowed me to minister to them and to their young people. They chartered a bus. There's something in that, people. That's a message there. When you love people, regardless of their color, regardless of their creed, when you stand in need, they'll be your family. Help me, somebody. And so I never shall forget, I stood there, and as I was standing there, I repeated these words to a very beautiful young lady by the name of Jacqueline Locke Jemison. I changed her name. When God gets hold to you, he does what? He changes. Come on, y'all ain't walking with me. He changes your name. These are the words I said to her. Jackie, I take you now to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward. Here are the key words. Not this day forward, but Deacon Johnson, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death. Oh, yeah, that's a word there. Till death us do part, according to God's holy ordinance. I pledge to you my faith. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, love covers it all. Come on, help me now. In sickness and in health. For better, for worse. Oh, how many of us have made that vow and pledged our faith one to the other, and I love one for the other? I want to share with you some things that love provides. Some things that love provides. Love provides a place of shelter that can withstand the worst circumstances imaginable. Love bears all things. The word baris comes from the Greek, and in the Greek it means a roof, a covering. Touch your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, we're covered by God's love. Come on, help me here. If you sit next to your wife or your husband, touch him and say, you covered. Oh, you not doing it. I guess you don't want to cover him. You covered by my love. Now point at her and tell her, come on, Deacon Johnson, point at Joanne and say, baby, you're covered by my love. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor. The word, the Greek word for bearing means roof. Love covers and protects like a roof covers a house and protects it from
strong from storms. Love bears up and continues to work for the good of others, regardless of what happens. Love bears the storm of disappointment, the rains of failure, and the winds of time and circumstance. All of us have been disappointed in the one that we love. All of us have had some disappointments. We never thought we would argue, because while we were dating, we never argued. We never thought that we would wish that we weren't married, because when we were not married, we were wishing that we were married. All of us have had some disappointments, some decisions have been made without our input, and we have become angry and disenchanted about it. But thanks be to God, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, when you have God's love, you are covered regardless of the circumstances you find yourself, or the decisions you make. Can I help you here? God does not love our sin, but he loves the sinner. He did not die for our sins. He died for us, that we may be forgiven for our sins. And so love, sometimes we are disappointed, and sometimes the rains of failure. We've failed on our job. We've failed in raising our children. And the winds of time and circumstance fall upon us. But thanks be to God that we have a roof called the love of God that covers us. And so, since that love covers us, when the extreme cold winters come and hot summers fall upon us, we still have the covering of the roof of God's love. Love provides a place of shelter that can withstand the worst that one can imagine. Can I tell you something else about love? Love cannot protect others from the harsh reality of living in a broken world. Neither can it protect others from the consequences of their own choices. But love does give broken, hurting people a place to find someone who cares for them and who cares for their good and well-being. Love gives people an intercessor and an advocate who prays for their ultimate well-being. Love covers even the worst sinners and gives a place that they can bring their repentant hearts. When I think about how love covers us, how love protects us from the storms of life, God's love, and even the love that we share for a husband, for wife, or for children, when I think about the fact that sinners need a place that they can bring their repentant hearts, I think about the Zacchaeus story that is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I want you to see God's love and God's covering of Zacchaeus in this message. Listen to the words that come to us from the writing of that great physician, Luke. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, look, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by falseness, I restore to him fourfold. And that ninth verse, and Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Let's look at this text for a few minutes and see if we can dissect something about the covering. First of all, God's love covers our desires. Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. Why would he want to see Jesus? Maybe if you let me use my sanctified imagination, I say he wanted to see Jesus because he had heard so much about him. He had heard of him giving sight to the blind. He had heard about him making the lame to walk. Maybe he had heard about the woman who had been sick for 12 years and doctors had taken all of her earthly earnings and could not do her any good. But thanks be to God, there is a name. There is something about the name of Jesus. The record is that Josephus says that she asked a stranger, can you tell me of a doctor that I can go to that never lost a case? I have blood falling from my body. I need a hematologist, one who studies blood to tell me what my problem is. And the Bible said, and the story is that Josephus says, there is a man from Galilee. There is a man named Jesus. He's never lost a case. He can heal your body. All you got to do is get to him. And that's probably why Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd so he could see the miracle worker, so he could see the bridge over troubled water. He wanted to see Jesus. So he runs ahead of the crowd and climbs up a sycamore tree. He's short of stature. That helps me to understand that you want to see Jesus. Doesn't matter how tall or how short you are, how fat you are, how thin you are, how beautiful you are, how ugly you are. Sometimes you got to make an effort to see Jesus. He runs and gets ahead of the crowd. This helps me to tell you, Second Baptist, if we want to run the race and see Jesus at the end, we got to run ahead of the crowd. We can't stay in the crowd. Ramsey Lewis says, I'm in with the in crowd. I do what the in crowd do. I go where the in crowd go. But God is not looking for an in crowd. He's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. So Second Baptist, we got to get right. Get right, church, and let's go home. We got to get right. We got to stop complaining. We got to stop talking about the budget. We got to stop talking about the Constitution. We got to stop talking about all of that stuff and start talking about Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. He runs and gets ahead of the crowd, climbs up so he can look down. There are a lot of people who climb up so they can look down. But I stop by to tell you on my way to heaven, doesn't matter where you are, he knows your station. He knows your situation. He knows your circumstance. The Bible says that when he got to where Zacchaeus was, he called him by his name, Zacchaeus. And the Greek word for Zacchaeus means praise of God. Oh, help me somebody here. Zacchaeus was not praising God. He was busy collecting tax, busy filling his coffers and getting rich. But thanks be to God, he heard about Jesus, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the preaching the word of God. So the Bible says that Jesus called him and said to him, Zacchaeus, I wish I could put myself in Zacchaeus' place. Here's Jesus, Mary's baby. Here's a matchless Lamb of God. Here's one who was born before time. Here is, oh yeah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, I'm just little Zacchaeus, and he knows my name. Can I help you here? He knows your name. Call him by name. Zacchaeus uses an imperative sentence and says to him, Zacchaeus, come down. He gives him a command. He says, come down. And I can see Zacchaeus coming down out of that tree. He's coming down not because he's afraid, but he's coming down because Jesus has invited himself to his house. For the Bible says that Jesus said to him, I'm coming to your house. Sidney Poitier appeared in that movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Y'all remember that? It had racial overtones, but thanks be to God that when Christ comes to my house, when Christ comes to your house, he comes regardless of your color, regardless of your creed, regardless of your wealth. He comes and he invites himself. Somebody says, I don't think he's coming to my house. Yes, he comes to your house. Sometimes he comes to your house with a newborn baby. Sometimes he comes to your house with death, but he shows up. And when he shows up, you know that Christ has been there. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. If he comes to your house today, if he comes to my house today, what would I have to put up? Because Jesus is coming. Would I have to dust off that old family Bible? Because Jesus is coming. Would I have to put up my Johnny Walker Red? Or my 40? What is it? What am I going to have to put up? My mess so that he can get in. Can I help you here? He knows how to step over mess. If he didn't know how to step over mess, you'd be dead today. I'd be dead today. He knows how to step over our mess. Come into my house. Will you find the love that I profess, that I possessed, and that I profess for my wife, for my husband? The Bible says that he received Jesus joyfully. Why did he receive Jesus joyfully? Because he knew who he was. He knew that he was God incarnated, God in the flesh. He knew that if his sins were going to be forgiven, they had to be forgiven by Jesus the Christ. Because he had been walking around forgiving people of their sins. You remember he forgave the woman caught in the very act of adultery. When all of them, from the oldest to the youngest, they knew where she was. And I don't know, Reverend Mathis, how they knew where she was unless they'd been there. Don't get mad at me. Some of us know what sin is because we've been in it. And we know what sin is because we made it our house. We made it our habit. And the Bible says that they brought her to Jesus and said to him, Lord, we caught her in the very act. And the record, the Mosaic law says that we ought to stone her. What do you say about it? I love Jesus because he knows how to write. I love him because he knows what to write. The Bible says that Jesus just stooped down and started writing. One preacher said he wrote he wrote the name of the sinners in that group. And then he said, he who is without sin,
let him cast the first stone. If you're so righteous, if you're so holy, if you're so sanctified, if you're so filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues and the Holy Spirit give utterance, then you cast the first stone. The Bible says that they all began to walk away, from the oldest to the youngest. And then Jesus looked up and said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked around and she didn't see anybody that had brought her and drug her to Jesus. And she said, I don't see any. And the Bible says that Jesus said to her, "Then I condemn you not. Go, your sins be forgiven." Thank God that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that the roof of his love is all around us. I like what Horace Bushnell said, that great preacher said, that man's greatest need is God's forgiveness, and God's highest need is the achievement of his forgiveness. I need just about 3 more minutes to tell you how he achieved that forgiveness. It was through his son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It was Jesus Christ, the first fruit of the dead. It was not through, it was not through Abraham, because Abraham cared so much for his life until he was willing to prostitute his wife. He cared so much about himself until he was willing to prostitute his wife Sarah and said she was his sister rather than his wife. It was not through, Abraham, nor was it through Moses, for Moses disobeyed God, speak to the rock, but he hit the rock. It was not, through Jeremiah, who wanted to give up when things got bad. Can I say something to married couples? Don't give up when things go bad. Just remember that Jesus is in your life and that he has covered you with his love. He covered you with his blood. And there's something within me that I cannot explain. That's why Jeremiah said, "It's like fire, oh Lord, shut up in my bones." It cannot be, it cannot be Peter, because Peter denied Christ. Cannot be Judas, because he betrayed him. But there is a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. There is a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, all can be saved. Redemption comes at the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here and know something about the name of Jesus? Oh, I seek the name of Jesus. The Bible says that they whipped him, and the old folks said he never said a mumbling word. They beat him, put him on the road, the Villa Dolorosa, the road of sorrow. And on that road, he fell. But thanks be to God that when I fall, there's somebody to help me. There was a man, coming, and they compelled him to carry the cross. But when they got him to the cross, when they got him to Calvary, guess what they did? They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. And they lifted him up. They forgot what Jesus said. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. They lifted him up. They spread him wide. And on that Friday, he died. But thanks be to God, he got up from the grave. On that Sunday morning, can I tell you something? When he died,
There was a stream in the temple that was ripped into pieces. That tells me that when Jesus died, I got access to the Father, that I can go to the mercy seat. It also tells me that I'm accountable for Jesus, and Jesus is accountable for me. Don't know how you feel about it, but I love the Lord. I love the resurrected Christ. He rose. He got up from the grave. He got up on a Sunday morning. That's why when Sunday comes, I don't have no problem getting up, because I know that one glad morning, when this life is over, I shall get up for the last time. But the message is, you covered. Your sins are covered. All you got to do is say, Lord, I love you. I love you. Covered by your grace. Covered by your mercy. Covered by your forgiveness. Covered by your promise. He promised. He promised. He promised. Never, 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 ever to leave me nor forsake me. You can walk away. Well, thanks be to God, I'm covered. I told Rose today, her eyes were closed. I said, Rose, you're covered. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. You're covered. Your healing is in the name of Jesus. And I just kept talking about Jesus, how he gave sight to the blind. He can heal your body, Rose. And guess what? Her eyes open. Tears start coming down. Can I tell you something? Jesus is available to cover you. He's available to be a roof over you. I don't know about you, but the house I live in, sometimes a roof springs a leak. See water on the floor. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ has all power, and there will be no leak in the name of the Father and of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, choir, sing. Don't sing, I'm gonna preach. I'm gonna preach till you start singing. Anybody know he's all right? This day, salvation has come to this house.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I'll praise you.
Praise
I'll
you.
Lift you up,
church,
and I'll magnify
standing.
Your name.
Church standing, invitation to discipleship.
That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I'll praise you. I'll lift you up and I'll magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul. You paid the price for me way back in Calvary. That's why I'll praise you and I'll lift you up and I'll magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Thank you, Sister Dickerson. Thank you for singing. Brother Wiley, it's good to see you in church. Brother Wiley, raise your hand. Let folk know who you are. He's been ill and was in the hospital. The pastor didn't know. I learned about it on Friday and Thursday, and I want you to know that I love you, and I'm glad that you're part of the Second Baptist Church. The next time you get sick and don't call the pastor, he's going to whoop you. All right, thank you. I'll have somebody call him. And then Brother Wallace, Ellie Wallace, we're praying for your wife. Her name is in the bulletin. Thank you for your faithfulness and your being present today in worship. Now, members who are members of YAC, as Youth in Action for Christ, there'll be a meeting today after the service in the chapel. Please go directly to the chapel. Naya, will be there to greet you. Yes, are you saying something, Sister? Huh? It's in the lounge. Okay, it's in the lounge. They're going to be eating in the lounge. All right. They're going to be eating in the lounge. Amen. Not the fellowship hall, in the lounge. All right. There's a message there for y'all.